I want to say that I appreciate Brother Jack. The kind spirit that he has, the attitude that he has, a person that has that kind of attitude is bound to be blessed of God. Nice, beautiful tent. We count it a real privilege to be here. Jack has invited us up for a night or two to be in the meeting with him. And we count it a real privilege. And truthfully, this is the last hours. I believe that with all my heart. And we just have returned from the Holy Land, just come in a day or two ago. We've been ministering over in the Holy Land and traveling around across the country looking at things. And it's a sad situation, especially when you look and see young men like we have standing here tonight, young men walking around across the countryside with guns on their back, up and down the streets, right in the cities, right in the neighborhoods. They've got submachine guns carrying them on their back. And not only that, but it's even worse when you look around and see young women like we got here, young girls, and they're walking up and down the streets with the same kind of gun strapped on their back. It's real sad. That's the kind of condition that the world is in today, especially in the Holy Land where Jesus walked. You can be seated. I like to hear people praise the Lord. I like to hear them sing. And I love to see them shout, dance in the Spirit. So beautiful. It's wonderful to see a person when they're really excited, when they're anointed, and when they're having a good time praising God. But on the other hand, I wonder, you know, Paul spoke of serving God with his mind, and seems like that sometimes our minds are all out of control. Seems like we got the wrong subject in the computer. And that's a bad situation. We do a lot of thinking. A person is what you might say a thinking machine. All they do is think. They think. All day long they think. And at night, until everything completely goes out, they still think. Even if they have to dream. And a person will think all day long, and they will talk about the different things that they think about. They will talk about all kinds of things. Sometimes, sad to say, it's gossip, backbiting, fault finding, and to say the least, that people are real gullible in their desire for materialistic values. We stopped to visit with a friend over in Canton we hadn't seen in a long time. And this person has a cafeteria there. And we was talking to her for a few minutes, and she's been very prosperous in her lifetime. And she was talking about financial gain. And she said, you know, so this is the ruination of the world. A number of years ago, she wasn't talking like that. Her financial gain seemed to be of great importance to her. But as she's getting nearer and nearer to the crossing, she began to talk about it being the ruination of the world. And truthfully it is. Because men are striving for materialistic values. Sad to say that many of the ministers of today, the only desire they have is the materialistic values. A lot of things are happening. You know, fame, popularity, money, all these things people are desiring. A lot of things are happening. I noticed in the paper, it was speaking of, I know that most of you are familiar with the PTL problem and the other things that's happening on TV, but I noticed the paper was speaking of Jim Baker fighting to come back and take over PTL. And I understand that Brother Falwell says, no, there won't be any days like that. And on this thing goes. I mean, it's all around the globe. It's everywhere. It's in the news and media is everywhere. And it has been a disgrace to the wonderful name of Jesus. But those things are happening. And I remember a number of years ago when we spoke about PTL in the fall and what would happen. I remember we was having a tent meeting there under our tent in the Carolinas and having a real outstanding tent meeting. And our crowds were outstanding. And I made a statement one night concerning this, concerning PTL. And somebody kind of went off and made a joke out of it and said, "This will never happen to Jim Baker." Said he's too big. But, you know, big trees fall too. Sometimes big trees make more noise than any of the others when they're cut down. And it came to pass that it happened that way. And now I understand that Jim is fighting to come back to PTL. And, of course, that spells a lot of problems. Still more disgrace. And the news medias, they just eat that up. They just eat it up. Because that means money, the sale of papers. But I said all that to say this, that fame and popularity and prestige and money, that's not the answer. And being religious is not the answer. I don't guess there's anybody in the world any more religious than Jim and Tammy and the ones that they had on their program. But being religious is not the answer. And folks, this may sound strange, but just mere believing isn't the answer. I've said this so many times, if you believe that's good, you should believe. But the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe too, and they tremble. So see, mere believing isn't going to save you. But the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So then there's only one believing that is profitable to the world, and that is faith in God. That is to say, faith that cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, that is faith. That's not just mere believing, but that is faith. And that will save you, and that will provide for you naturally, physically, and spiritually. That will do the job. While preaching over in Israel this time, we was ministering there at a Baptist church. And the Baptist minister was interpreting. And as we preached the word. And while we was preaching, I made this statement. I said, you know, not too long ago, I said there were some things published in the news media. And they spoke of all of the different faiths in the world coming together. I said, and when I read it, I said, no, that can't be. I said, there'll never be a day like that. Because I made the statement, because there is no such thing. The interpreter was going real good. Preaching the Word of God, it never bothered him a bit. And even though it was a little advanced as to his doctrine and what he believed as to the Baptist church, yet he never drew back. He just went right down the line interpreting, and one of the finest interpreters I've ever had anywhere in the different parts of the world. But when I said this, it just clear took the wind out of his sails. I said there is no such thing as all faiths of the world coming together. I said there is no such thing as all faiths. I said there is but one God. There is but one faith. There is but one baptism. I said there is but one faith. So all faiths can never come together because there is no such thing. I said all people of the faith can come together
But all faiths can't come together because there's no such thing as all faiths. And when that hit him, he fell back like this. And this is the way he done. And he wasn't interpreting. He wasn't saying anything. He act like that all of the breath just went out of him. And he stood there for a while. He just stood there. He couldn't say anything. And I went on saying things, and in a few minutes he got his bearings and looked like he got his second wind, as we say, and he started interpreting again. And before I could get out of the church, he grabbed me by the arm and began to talk to me about revivals and crusades across that part of the world and down in Egypt and wherever. And of course, Brother Mike, our PR man, talked to him today. He called over in Israel and talked with a couple of the men there today that we met while we were there. Brother Malad was one of them. But I still want to say this. See, we think all the time. We continually think. But when a preacher begins to preach the word, we don't want to think. We come together in a meeting like this, and we don't want to think. We want to shout, we want to sing, we want to feel exuberant, we want to clap our hands, we want to feel something, you know, and get stirred up. And I'll tell you, it's a poor meeting where you can't feel something and you can't get stirred up. If God is anywhere in there, you're going to feel something and you're going to enjoy it. If it's just talking, if it's shouting or whatever it is. But we don't want to do much thinking. As God people, as religious people, we don't want to do much thinking. We feel that we ought to send our children to school, feel that we ought to send them to college, and if we find out that they're shouting and jumping around, we'll tan their hide. We say they need to think. They need to stop. They need to listen. Come on, folks. Stay with me now. You know I'm telling you the truth. But we go to the house of God, and the Bible said, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, which is our own exuberance and our own doings, and we get clearer out of source. We don't want to listen. We don't want to absorb. We don't want to hear. Whereas the Bible said, faith cometh by the hearing, and that by the word of God. And when Jesus walked the earth, that's what he did. He talked with the people. And when he talked with the people, he talked with them so that they could hear. He wanted them to hear. And he would just sit down in a little boat and push out, you know, from the shore and teach the people and talk to them. And he wanted them to hear so that they could get faith and so that they could grow in the knowledge of Almighty God. And though he had the great, wonderful miracles and healings and the joy and the jubilance, yet he wanted them to hear. And the trouble with the church world today is they don't hear anything. They don't hear anything. I was preaching in a church of God over in Alaska a few days ago. Wonderful pastor. Give us our freedom. A big, beautiful church. But while we was there, I tried to press the point concerning hearing, that we need to hear. We need to know more about the things of God. And we need to hear. Isn't that right? We need to be able to hear. So then when we come together, we need to think a little bit. Hear a little bit. Let our minds get into this. Paul said, I serve God with my mind. And we need to get our minds into it. It doesn't matter how exuberant we are in the flesh or how demonstrative we are in the flesh. If we're not hearing anything and we're not giving our minds to God, we're still not doing service as unto the Lord. Isn't that right? So then God wants us to get our minds into it. And if God ever gets our minds into it to where we hear, and if God ever gets our minds into it to where we'll think and believe, then we'll start feeling something on the inside, and the Holy Ghost will begin to move, and we'll begin to feel the power of God, and something will begin to shake us on the inside, and then we'll have a real godly shout. We'll have a real shout then. God will do something for us and we'll have a real genuine shout then. Isn't that right? So then, if we come together and all we do is just become exuberant in the flesh, and if all we ever do is just shout around and want to feel good, it doesn't mean that that isn't God. It doesn't mean that that isn't God, because it is God. But what it is God pouring out of His Spirit upon the unjust and the just. It is God pouring out of His Spirit upon the just and upon the unjust, because the blood is on the seat of atonement. But listen, folks, don't forget that even though God may pour out of His Spirit upon the unjust will still go into the lake of fire. They may shout, they may speak in tongues, they may demonstrate, they may pray for the sick, they may preach, they may do all kind of things, but they still will be turned into the lake of fire. This is why that I say we need to hear. We need to serve God with our minds. We need to get God on the inside of our heart. And then when we shout, and then when we pray, and then when we feel good, we'll be on our way to heaven. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, we come to you tonight in the name of the Lord to talk with you for just a few minutes. I'll try not to hold you long and return the service back to our brother Jack, but I do want to say a few things to you. I want to read to you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heir and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and heights, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of that working worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now, I'd like to point something out to you right here. He says here, "and to make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Then he says, "to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, you know, folks, that's something. When you talk about the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God. Now, we could come to church and have a good time, and as I say, we ought to. We ought to do that. But the Bible said, wherein when we ought to be teachers, we have need that we are be taught, which is the beginning of the principles of the oracles of God. And the Bible said, the meat is for the strong, they who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. See, so there is something that God wants us to do. God wants us to do something. You know, it's all right to go out here to the ball game and holler and scream if that's what you belong to and if that's what you want. It's all right to go out here to the races and get all exuberant, because if you are in the flesh and desiring the things of the flesh, and if you want those things, then you want to be stimulated and you want to get into it and you really want to have a good time. See, but when it comes to the Spirit of the living God and you want to get into the things of God, then that means that you've got to do it altogether different. See, the world loves those that belong to it. And if you're in the world, you're going to do like the world. But if you're with God, then you're going to do like God wants you to do. Remember, Jesus was our example. Don't look around to find somebody for your example. You should admire all men that try to do something for God. And you should admire all women that try to do something for God. But you should take Christ as your example. The Bible said Christ is our example, and we ought to follow in His steps, who did no sin, and neither was guile found in His mouth. So then what we need to do is take Him in admiration. And then when we think about Christ, we think about the way that He did. While we was over in the Holy Land as we traveled, I would see places where the Lord had been. Down along the shores of Galilee we walked, and there I could visualize in my mind where Jesus had walked, how tired He had been many times. A rocky terrain, a rough terrain. I don't see how He survived as a man. But over these trails and over these mountains and down through the valleys and wherever, Jesus walked. Without water, without food, without anything, God had to supply the needs. Some places over there's no place to get water. And for miles and miles and miles, Jesus walked. And His disciples walked with Him. And when we went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, looking at that mountain over there, that great mountain, my, what a mountain. And there, no doubt, took them a number of days just to climb up to the place where we rode up to in just a little while. There, climbing, using all of His strength, Christ being our example. He wasn't seeking after fame. He was Almighty God. He had all the fame. He didn't, the Bible said, He never attempted to make of Himself a reputation. He never sought a reputation. But yet He's got the greatest reputation of any that ever lived. And Christ Jesus was interested in doing something for you. All He ever did was sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice, continually sacrificing, always putting the flesh down. He wasn't ever interested in lifting the flesh up and magnifying the flesh and making something out of the flesh. But He always put the flesh down. But look at the church of today. The church wants to build up the flesh. And the church wants to bring things into the church concerning the flesh. And the church is wanting to do something as to programize that concerning the flesh. Everything is concerning the flesh. All of the programs lead to the flesh. See, but not to the Spirit. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like for you to be spiritual, he said, because I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. He said, I've received a revelation. I've received something from the invisible world. I've got something from God. I'd like to share this with you, he said. So then I'd like for you to be spiritual. I'd like for you to give me your minds. I'd like for you to give me your hearts. I'd like for you to give me your spirits. See, God is a spirit. How do you know God's a spirit? God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship God with their spirit. Paul said, I worship God with my spirit.
they that worship God must worship God with their spirit. You've got to get your spirit into the thing. You've got to get your heart into it. You've got to get your mind into it. You've got to put down the flesh and separate yourself from the flesh. To come out from the world and be a separate people. To touch not the unclean things, he said, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Why don't we come out from the world? Why don't we do that? That's why the church is in the minority today. It's in the minority. So mixed up with the world. See, if it was with Christ, you wouldn't have people going and coming. You wouldn't have people that would be with you today and tomorrow they're out there in the world again. See, they will come out from the world. They will be a separate people. They won't find entertainment in the world, and they won't do the things of the world, and they won't get out into the flesh. So they'll be glad to come to a tent meeting, Brother Jack. They'll be glad to get together with God's people. They'll be glad to get together and shout and praise God and have something going on for God, because they're not in the world. They're not after the world. They don't go with the world. And then the church wouldn't be in the minority anymore. But the great, wonderful move of God would be in the land, and we'd be clean from the things of the world, and God would bless us, and we'd find ourselves filled with the power of God, filled with the understanding of God. And when we come together like this, there'd be one over here, and they'd become anointed with the power of God, and the voice of prophecy would begin to speak, and people would begin to speak in other tongues, and people would become anointed to pray for the sick, and they'd be healed, and God would be doing something in the midst of his people. So then tonight, why don't we come out from the world and be a separate people and do something for God? You know, I was just saying the other day, as we started off to Israel, that it made me feel real good. One of our people had just ended about a 7-day fast. He's sitting back there tonight before we went to Israel. That makes you feel real good, because that makes you know that God's going to be with you on your trip, because you've got people fasting and praying. Another brother walked up to me and said, I won't eat anything till you get back, Brother Pike. And 14 days went by. And on the 14th day, when I got back on the 13th day, I believe it wasn't on the 14th day, he sat down in my kitchen and he began to eat. See, he wanted to do what he promised. He wanted to keep his word. Folks, that's what counts, is wanting to do something for God. It was after about 14 days that the angel of God appeared to Paul. See, we need to do something for God. Hasn't been but just a few days ago that our whole church went on several days of fasting. They were interested in the things of God, and they wanted to sacrifice and give to God. And not only that, but about the same time, they sent about 13,000 garments at one time into Mexico to help take care of the poor. Within a few weeks or a month or so, they sent about 30,000 garments trying to take care of the poor. For the Bible said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. See, we've got to do something. We can't just come to church. We can't just come and hear the preaching, go back out and be the same old way that we've been in the past. We can't just gather together and then go out and do the same things that we've always done. There's no way for you to get to heaven like that. You may be a believer, but you're certainly not a Christian. Somebody say amen. Amen. I said you may be a believer, but certainly not a Christian. See, if you believe, the devils believe. But when you get faith in God, then you've got something from God. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Tonight, while we're talking, give me your minds. Give me your thoughts. Give me your spirits. And examine yourself. As we preach this word, examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith. See, faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And when the word of God comes forth, then you examine yourself and see if that's your conviction. See if that's the word of God, and see if your conviction is in the word of God. Because see, if your conviction isn't in the word of God, it doesn't matter what you believe. You may believe what your grandmother taught. You might believe what your father taught. You might believe what the preacher said. But folks, if it's not the word of God, you're still going into the lake of fire. You're saved by faith in the word of God. And it takes faith in the word of God. And if you don't have faith in the word of God, you're still going into the lake of fire. Amen. Can you picture in your mind tonight? as you look around, as you travel around, that there are millions and tens of millions of people that are religious people, and yet they're going into the lake of fire? Come on now. Come on. The Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. If Jim Baker was blind and was leading as many people as he was leading, then where did they go? Where did they go? Tell me, where did they go? If he was blind, he was leading all of those people, great people of reputation. Where did they go? Beloved friend, they all went into the ditch. They went into the ditch. What is the ditch? The Bible said in the Hoa is a great ditch, and they that abhor to the Lord shall fall therein. See, that is to say the flesh, and they that are whoring around on God, and they that won't follow the way of God, and they that won't take the name of the Lord Jesus, they that won't love the Lord Jesus and give their hearts to the Lord Jesus, they that take their bodies to do the things of the world, that's the great Hoa. And the Bible says all of them that abhor to the Lord shall fall therein. I'm going to say something right here. It might be a little strong, but you look like a good, strong, healthy congregation. The Bible said all of the world. Think now about 5 billion people in the world today. All of the world wandered after the beast. Are you listening now? All of the world wandered after the beast. Some of you know what I'm saying. What is the beast? The Bible brings it out very clearly that the flesh is the beast. They that are born of the first birth that don't make the second birth, then the Bible teaches that they are the beast. And they all wandered after the beast. Now listen, let's enumerate some things. You know, as long as the preacher's preaching like this, somebody say, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. Say it, preacher. But then when he begins to talk like I'm about to talk now, they say, now wait a minute, I don't know, that ain't right, I'm leaving. Come on. And it said all of the world wondered after the beast. Isn't that right? All of the world wondered after the ball game. Somebody say amen. All of the world wondered after the lipstick and the pattern, the paint and the gossip and the backbiting. Come on, folks. Talking about the beast now. All of them wondered after the flesh. The Bible said you're not in the flesh but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God is in you, then the Bible said God will quicken your mortal body by that spirit that dwelleth on the inside of you. If you have not God's spirit, the Bible said you're none of his. And if you do have God's spirit, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible said Christ Jesus was our example and we ought to follow in his steps. And if we follow in his steps, we turn away from the flesh. Come on, folks. The Bible said they that belong to God has mortified the deeds of the flesh with the lust thereof. And the Bible teaches that they that are of Christ, they crucified the flesh. And that you'll deny yourself and you'll follow him. And wherever he is, there you'll be if you're his servant. Isn't that right? I tell you what, looking over that terrain as we travel over the Holy Land, that's saying a whole lot. Just to be with him in his walking, just to be with him in his ministry, just to follow him where he went. You know, a fellow run up to him and said, look, I'll follow you wherever you go. Can you imagine that? Jesus said, the birds of the air have nests. He said, and the foxes have holes. He said, but the Son of God doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. Come on, folks. He didn't have any place to lay his head. I looked down at the Valley of Kidron. Many times Jesus would cross the Valley of Kidron, going over to Bethany, going over to the place where Lazarus was, going over to Mary and Martha's, because they offered him a hand. They offered him a place to sleep. They offered him bread to eat, and he would go over there. A lot of times he would stop by the way, maybe pray all night in the Garden of Gethsemane, which was just over the Valley of Kidron. Folks, how many times have you prayed all night? As the songwriter said, how many times have you prayed till the light shined through? How many times have you prayed until you really got the victory from God and felt something from God and felt God dealing with you and you felt that jubilance that made you want to do something for God? When you felt like you belonged to God and when you felt like David of old that you could run through a troop and leap over a wall? How many times have you ever prayed like that? How many times have you ever got away by yourself? got out there in a room somewhere by himself and called on God, or got out there in the darkness somewhere down among the trees along the creek and prayed and called on the name of the Lord till the morning come. How many times have you ever done that? How many times have you ever seen the sun come up over the horizon? See, that's what Jesus did. That's what his disciples did. And you know what, folks? If you follow him, you'll do some of that too. Come on, folks. If you follow him, you'll do some of that too. Somebody says, glory to God, I'm glad he took care of all that, Brother Pike. I'm just a believer. I belong to God, but them kind of things I can't do. But I'll tell you, if you love Jesus, you'll find out you can do some of those things. A lot of the things that you say you can't do, you'll find out that you can do them. You know, and you'll pray and you say, I can't do it. And something will say, you can. And you say, I can't do it. Something will say, you can. And you'll be there a little longer. And you'll be there a little longer. And you'll be there a little longer. And the first news you know, something will cry out on the inside. Oh, glory to God. There comes the sunrise. I've been here all night long. I've done what Jesus did. Hallelujah. I see the sunrise coming up. I prayed the night away. Then you feel strong. And your faith gets so strong, you know. Your faith gets great then, and you just feel like you can do the job. You feel like you can give the testimony. And when somebody runs up to you and they begin to try to put Christ down or put you down or put the brethren down, you know, you don't drop your head and shrink up and you don't back off, you know, weak-like and just kind of ease away or compromise and say, well, yes. You know, you just rise up and say, glory to God. Hallelujah! It ain't that way at all. Don't you want to know more about Jesus? Don't you want to know more about the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's go on, the writer said, talking about this good old way, talking about Jesus. So then, the world wondered after the flesh. The world. Everyone wondered after the beast. The beast, the flesh. The Bible said, ye that are Christians, you're not in the flesh. You're dead to the flesh. And God has chosen you out of this world. He's taken that inner man out of the flesh. He's buried that outer man out yonder somewhere in a watery grave by the works of Calvary and through faith. See, and he's taken that inner man out of that body. He's translated him into a marvelous kingdom. God has taken him away. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. That is pressing against the evil powers. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Every time you go to think good, just think now for a moment. Every time you go to think good, the first thing you get up there is a dirty old thought. Isn't that right? Come on, folks. Every time you want to think something good, some old dirty thought comes up there. Some old accusing thought, some old gossiping thought, some old gullible thought concerning the flesh to go feed the flesh and do something for the flesh. When I would do good, evil is present. Because Satan is the prince of this world. The Bible teaches that he is. But God also said, greater is he that is in you than Satan which is in the world. Greater is he that is within you than Satan that is within the world. So then in seeing this, we see all of the world wondering after the beast. The end of the world is here. All of the world is wondering after the beast, wondering after the things of the beast. You know, they've got to do the things of the world. They've got to look like the world. They've got to act like the world. They want careers in this world. They want to do the things that the world does. They want to be lined up and down the beaches. They want to be around the swimming pools. They want to be eating and drinking. They want to be in the frolics. They want to be in the stores going continually, buying and selling and buying and selling. They want to be eating. They want to be partying. They want to be sitting on the TV. Come on, folks. They want to be reading the newspapers. They want to be reading books. I'm talking about good old Holy Ghost living. I'm talking about being like God. I'm talking about folks that's going to heaven. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I believe all these others are going. Well, I got some news for you. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word, and God sent me. And I'm speaking God's word tonight. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And the writer said, you show me your faith by your works. By your works, let me see it. By your works, there is no faith except by the works that you do. When you hear the preacher, you do what the preacher tells you to do. That's faith. And to hear, the Bible said, if you hear and go your way and you don't do, you're like a man that's looking in a glass and you don't know what manner of man you are. You go your way and you forget what manner of man you are. But beloved friend, when you do what God tells you to do, then that means you believe what the preacher says. When you act on it, the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, Peter commanded 3,000 to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin. 3,000, the first church, 3,000. He commanded 3,000 to repent of their sins, and they repented of their sins. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin. What was that? That was faith in God's Word. God's Word in action. When you hear the Word of God, when the man of God says repent, and when the man of God calls you around the altar, and the man of God says come, folks, come on. Don't drag back. Don't wait. The Bible said the king's matter requires haste. Get up and go. When he tells you you need to be doing something, when you leave that church service, don't go back to the same old way of life. Don't do that. But see, rise up and say, glory to God, that's what the Bible says. And if the Bible says that, that's what I'm going to do. And I'll tell you something, you'll be a happy Christian. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Just think, 3,000 people, what a congregation. 3,000 people, I'm talking about a church. Today, the preachers add anything to the church. Come on. I said the preachers will take anything into the church as long as they can get a dollar out of them, as long as they can get them to back their ministry. They don't care what the congregation does. They don't care if the congregation goes to hell. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. That was 3,000 people that was to be added to the church. That was 3,000 people that loved God. That was 3,000 people that obeyed the Word of God. Are you obeying the Word of God? What is the church doing today? Where is those people that's obeying the Word of God? We say the church, well, we can't tell the church from the world and the world from the church. You know that. You know that. Now listen, don't fly away on me. Hallelujah. I spoke a long time ago about a move coming. I said it'd be a religious move. I said, and this move will just sweep all through the earth. And I said, even the Pope of Rome will put his approval on this move. I said, and the people will be so religious, and they'll speak in tongues, and they'll shout, and they'll do all of these things. I said, but they won't come out from the world, and they won't deny ungodliness, and they won't put away the world. I said, they'll do the things of the world, and dress like the world, and act like the world, and be part of the world. Come on. It's a move of the devil. Compassing land and sea to make a proselyte. Twofold more the child of hell. See, telling a person that they're right, ready to meet God when they're going into the lake of fire. When if they'd just left them alone, those people would have had that feeling of being undone. And they would have heard the Word of God, and they would have come to the Word of God, and they'd been outstanding people for God. But see, they mixed the world. The Bible said, woe unto that man, the woman that mixed darkness with light. But they mixed the world with, they mixed light with darkness, or they tried to mix it with darkness. Come on, folks. You can find them on every corner, Jack. You can find them everywhere. Everywhere. Go up into the upper rims of life, you find them. Go down to the lower rims of life, you find them. Go into this church, you find them. Go into that church, you find them. Everywhere you go, you find them. Come on. I said you find them in those churches. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I said, you'd find them. You'll find them in the Baptist church. Somebody said, that old Baptist church. And you'll find it in the sister church called Mrs. Methodist. And you'll find it in Mrs. Cal, Miss Catholic too. Come on, folks. And I said, you'll find it in the UPC too. And you'll find it in the non-denominationals too. You'll find it in every walk of life. And you'll find it in the great crusades around the world with the great evangelists of today. You'll find it. But glory to God, in the midst of all of it, you'll find some children of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you'll find some real children of God. And they may have to put up with that. They may have to go along with it to the extent that they don't know exactly what to do. But brother, they're not approving of it at all. They don't feel no kindred spirit at all. They just tolerate it and that's it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Ain't you glad you're Christian tonight? Don't you love the Lord tonight? All of the world wondered after the beast. Wondered after the beast. Are you wondering after the beast tonight? Are you wondering after the beast tonight? The Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people. While they're playing this organ up here, I want to give you a chance. I want to give you a chance to come out from among them. I want to give you a chance. You know, while we just love to preach all night long, just getting started now. But I just come up here just to exalt a little bit and tell you my feelings about Jesus. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me now. You know, I ask you for your minds. And I ask you for your spirit. You know why? Paul said these things was made known unto me by revelation. Tonight, I'm just kind of exhorting a little bit. Dropping in just a little tiny bit concerning the revelation of the Lord Jesus and not really going into it tonight. But wouldn't you like to have the revelation? Paul had so much revelation that there was given unto him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And everywhere he went, there was a fallen angel that was around. And everywhere Paul went, this fallen angel would probe at him. Always probing at him. Always causing him to stumble. And Paul would be over here in a city. And that fallen angel would stir up somebody over here. And they'd start saying something to degrade Paul or put Paul down. And God allowed that. Paul said, oh God, move this thing. And God said, if I did, Paul, you'd be exalted above measure. With the kind of knowledge you've got and the revelation you've got. He said, don't let me hear no more about it. Everything will be all right, Paul. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, we can have a little affliction. We can have a little problem. And we think the world's fell in on us. Isn't that right? He said, don't talk to me no more about it. Moses said, oh God, Lord, I've come a long ways. All the way out of Egypt. Here I am out in the wilderness. And now we've got to the... I got over here to this promised land. And he said, oh, God, let me go in. He said, take a look. I don't want to hear no more about it. Come on, folks. I said, everything's going to be all right. God knows what he's doing. Somebody said, poor old Moses. God was so mean to him. Took him over and let him see that land after he's the one that's labored. He's the one that's travailed. And he's the one that's been through it all. And then pick up that Joshua that ain't done nothing and let him go in there. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But you know what it was? God looked around and said, there ain't no man like my man Moses. Come on, folks. He said, Miriam, Aaron, wasn't you afraid to grumble against him and mumble against him? Said, there ain't no man in all the land like my man Moses. Somebody says, look out now, Brother Pike. We don't want to give a man God's glory. Don't want to give his glory. Don't want to give his glory to someone else. Come on, folks. You know, we strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Blind leaders of the blind, they lead. They all fall into the ditch. That angel looked over there at Gideon and said, mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor. Come on. Somebody said, John's a prophet. Jesus said, more than a prophet. More than a prophet. Somebody says, look out now. You'll overdo it if you say too much about Brother Jack up there. He'll overdo it. But the Bible said, giving honor to all men and double honor to them that labor in the Lord. Don't want to give his glory to no one else. And I've said this so many times and I want to say it tonight. You don't have to worry about that. Especially them preachers getting that glory. You don't have to worry about them taking God's glory. God already gave it to them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God's already given it to him. Hallelujah. Moses and Elijah appeared in his glory on the Mount of the Transfiguration. And Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that you gave me. The glory that you gave to me before the world was, said, give it to them too. Come on, folks. Say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said you can't give God's glory to another. I believe that. But you see, I'm not another. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ. Somebody say, glory to God. God wants you to have that glory. Christ in you is the hope of that glory. Glory to God. That's what we want to do tonight, is get into that glory. Don't you feel good? If you feel good, let's give God a hand, can you? Hallelujah. 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 Getting closer to heaven all the time. I said we're getting closer to heaven all the time. Feeling better about this thing all the time. Hallelujah. See the difference between you and the world out yonder? God is going to give his glory to another. Them folks out there, that's another. But you don't have to worry. Hallelujah. Praise God. While we sing just a little chorus here, I want to sing a little chorus with you. And I want to give you a chance to think on these things. Can you give me your mind? Can you give me your thoughts? Can you do that? Meditate in his laws day and night. And the Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Let's sing this little chorus to be like Jesus, can we? Just to be like Jesus. Sing it with me. Just to be like Jesus. On this earth I'll own. Just to be like him. Can you sing it with me? All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On this earth I long just to be like him. Sing it with me now. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus, sweep over my soul, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it like this now. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep,
But in Jesus, I am saved evermore. This is a good song to sing here. Amazing grace. And the altars are open right now. If you'd like to come to the altar, I'd like for you to come. The King's matter requires haste. Isn't it wonderful that some people are going to move and move quick because they want to be about the Father's business? Come on, folks. Come on down, folks. Come on down. All of you, come on down. Hallelujah. All of us can come on down tonight. Glory to God. This is good for all of us tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on down, folks. Come on down. While the waters of trouble tonight, come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You love Him? I was blind, but now I can see. Singing again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Sing it with me now. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Sing it with me. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace my fears really. Oh, how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first, sing it with me like this now. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. Lift your hands up with me. Everyone that's here tonight that really hasn't surrendered your heart to God, hasn't given your heart to the Lord Jesus, I want you to do it tonight. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against the great day. And so tonight, I want you to make a commitment to God. If you've never made a commitment to God, you need to make a sober commitment to God tonight. You need to make that commitment tonight. I want you to lift your hands up, and I want you to close your eyes. And the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everyone that's here tonight, I want you to lift your hands up. Will you do that? Do what the man of God asks you to do. Lift your hands up. You know, the Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. It's when we lift up these hands that God sees Calvary. Isn't that right? He said, I've loved you so much that I've engraved you in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you, having put the nails in the hands for you and I. So tonight, when we lift up our hands to God, then God sees Calvary. That's why He says, I would that you lift up your holy hands. God's made them holy tonight. Men everywhere, let them praise the Lord. Lift up your hands tonight. Close your eyes tonight. Close your eyes tonight. And let's believe on the Lord with all of our heart. Can you do that tonight? Just lift them up. While we get ready to pray now, I want you to lift your hands up with me. If you've not made a commitment to God for salvation, then God wants to save you tonight. And not only that, beloved friend, but God wants to help you tonight. God wants to heal your body. God wants to heal your body. All it takes is faith. God wants to heal your body tonight. So tonight, while you've got your hands up, got your eyes closed, let's everybody close our eyes, lift our hands up tonight. And as we lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come up here, and I'm going to ask him to pray with you tonight, if he will. If Brother Jack will come up and pray tonight.